following is a presentation of Genoa. For more information, find us on the web at genoachurch.org.
Welcome to our third week of this online Bible study. I'm Scott.
And I'm Matt.
And want to remind you that if you haven't signed up to be a part of this yet, you can still sign up. My email address is...
Wait, we got to start over again. I had your email up the whole time. All right, here we go. This is the one.
This is the first time we've done it. Hey guys, welcome to our third week of the online Bible study in the book of Galatians. We're glad you're joining us here. If this is your first time checking us out, we'd love for you to join us. You can just email me at slewald@genoachurch.org. And basically, each week we'll read one chapter in the book of Galatians, watch a 10 to 12 minute video from Right Now Media with Kyle Eidelman, and then we'll tune in Wednesday nights at 6:45 for our recap video. If you're brave enough, we send four questions out each week that you can answer, and as you answer them, they can be a part of the program here.
Yeah, we've had some pretty good responses, I would say.
Yeah, a lot of people are responding.
Not only the spiritual responses, because three of those questions are about the Bible study, but you do ask one that kind of gets us to know you a little bit better, and those have been pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's refresh our memory. The number one snack of all our viewers is...
Cheese.
Yes. Right? Not Cheez-Its. Not mac and cheese. It's cheese.
Like a bowl of cheese or a block of cheese.
Yeah.
Or...
Hey, I'm with you. I love that. So, well, let's go ahead. You sent out your email, and you added a question in here that I thought was a pretty good question, and it is, who is your favorite athlete? So let's start with you. Who's your favorite athlete?
Well, let me start with the audience.
Either way.
Audience. Because you guys matter. The ones we received the most often were like Tim Tebow, and that was good. Yeah. He was the winner. Right. But some of the other ones I got was Larry Bird, because he mowed his own lawn.
Oh, okay.
Not because he was a great shooter, won championships, but because he mowed his own lawn.
He was an ordinary guy.
Yeah.
I like it.
Several people said my kids or grandkids.
Were there...
Not my kids.
Were their favorite.
Their own kids.
So I assume your favorite athlete is Zach Lewald right here.
He's in my top four.
Jersey.
Okay, for sure.
Cool. All right.
For sure. And then the one I liked the best was Secretariat, which is a horse.
Not even a human. Your favorite athlete. Okay. Very nice.
Must be from Kentucky.
Must be.
So, all right, tell me your...
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is going to be a guy that you know very well.
Okay.
It's a guy that I love. Great athlete. A lot of you guys will remember him from such bowl games where he ran an 85-yard touchdown through the heart of the South, a.k.a. Alabama, in not the championship game, but it was the bowl game right before the championship game. None other than Ezekiel Elliott. You like Zeke Elliott, don't you?
I like him in the pros.
Okay.
Yeah. Good fantasy player.
Zeke has done terrible things to your team. Your Michigan team. But that's okay. What's your favorite athlete? Who's your favorite
next
athlete,
question. Scott? My favorite athlete has been my favorite athlete probably since 1991.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't play sports anymore, but I love to see what's going on with his life. And I think if people always say, if you had one day to spend, who would you spend it with? And people are like, Jesus. And that would be my number one. But after that, it would be Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Shaq. I've never seen him not having a good time.
Right. I agree with that. Every time he's on camera, you're just like, I want to hang out with that
guy. Like he's always like having cool good, clean fun, it seems like.
Did you know that he's legitimately a sheriff in a small town?
Virginia, right?
Yeah. Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't expect a follow-up
on
that question.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah, but Shaq is the man. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So wait, who was the number one for the audience?
Tim Tebow.
It's a good Christian answer. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and dive in. So that was obviously the kind of the not serious question, but we've got three of them for you. And I know that some of you guys have written in. So here's the first question that Pastor Scott sent out. And it says, in verse 24, it says, the law was our schoolmaster. What does that mean?
All right. We got another response from Lynn here. The law shows us our sin and gives us a moral compass, but it does not save us. Hallelujah. If following the law could save us, there was no need for Christ's sacrifice, and we would all be doomed. Joe, what do you think?
Well, so all of the kids have just gone home, right?
Yep.
Schools have shut down. So here we are. All of a sudden, all of America has become homeschoolers. It is just crazy. And even my grandkids have gone home, and my daughter is now teaching them home ec. And... that includes even bread making. I don't know if that picture will make it in this or not, but it's a pretty amazing picture of her making bread. And so that's really what it is. You know, the law is our tutor. It's our schoolmaster. It's that one that leads us to Christ because it shows us that we fall short, that we can't keep the law on our own.
Yep. When I think about it, I for some reason I think of like an old lady at school with a ruler that like every time you mess up just kind of smacks your hands and points you to the right direction. And what we see, the law was not bad. The law pointed us. It showed us that we were not perfect. It showed us the need for a Savior. It was our teacher, but it was not the answer, right? We see that it brought us to the gospel to understand that we are justified by faith alone. Mm-hmm. I know we keep saying how exciting it is to not be under the law. We're not under the law for salvation. But we always go back to Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus took the law, the Ten Commandments that we think about, brought them into the New Testament, made them even harder. Where it says, hey, you shouldn't kill somebody in the Old Testament. But now it says, hey, if you think an evil thought against someone, it's almost as if you've killed them.
It's
and
murder.
So there is this responsibilities we have. Last week we talked about the unity, the humility, the sanctification that we still need to uphold as fellow believers.
Right.
But the law basically showed us that perfection is required. And by understanding the law, we see we're not perfect. You know, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when we know that we've fallen short, sometimes we want to go back to the measuring, can I have more good works than bad works? And it just doesn't work that way. The law points to a need for a Savior.
That's right. Yep. So you're saying really we cannot unhinge from the Old Testament, can we?
We do move on. Question number two. How is legalistic religion different from the gospel?
All right, so we want to read that answer, and I think I might have...
Rebecca.
Fantastic. All right, so Rebecca says, legalistic religion is based upon the idea that our good works can secure access to heaven. The gospel is based upon the sacrifice of Jesus and is based upon his mercy for access to heaven. And wow, that is so true.
Yep.
Thank God for his mercy.
You know, I think about, one, I love how Paul references things. You know, I always think Paul would be this great spiritual teacher that, guys, we love you, and you're not doing the right thing, but I want to share with you the right way. But he just starts off, you foolish Galatians.
That's right.
Like, I've taught you the right thing, and you're going to something different. You're so foolish. And I want to reference part of the video that we saw that Kyle was teaching, talking about Muhammad Ali and, you know, the great person he was as a boxer and and some of how his religion was wrong and how he'd always try to make sure that his good works outweighed his bad works at the end of the day.
Right.
And that's just such a horrible way to live. It's just it's such a way that you're always going to fail. You know, you may have a couple good days where you do some good things, but ultimately you're going to look back on your life and even that one thing that you've done wrong will keep us from eternity in heaven. You know, I like to think about it with diets. PJ is like, excuse me, Pastor Joe is his name. He is ordained. He has his master's degree. He is the executive pastor of this church.
By the way,
but
you know who coined PJ, right?
No.
My wonderful son-in-law.
Matt?
Early on started calling me PJ, and it stuck.
It did.
Initially, I wasn't so sure about it, but it's got a ring to it.
And I even said before this, I'm going to call you Pastor Joe, but PJ comes out. So I'm sorry, it's going to be PJ.
It works.
But you're the master. Like, we'll go out to eat, and you'll have a cracker, and then you'll pull out your phone and put down 20 calories, cracker.
Yeah, myfitnesspal.com keeps me on track.
Keeps you on track. So I don't do well with diets. When I try to do a diet, there'll be no pop because I love pop. There'll be no Doritos. There'll be no snacks. It's just healthy food. And I can go for a few days, maybe even a week like that. And then one night I'll be watching something on TV and open up a bag of Doritos and eat the whole thing. And I feel so guilty because, man, I set these standards. This is what I'm going to do. And then I fall back, especially during quarantine. We're all eating more than we should. But when I try to make it a lifestyle, or it's not about this is the law, do not touch pop, do not touch Doritos, do not touch any of these things, which aren't bad things. But when I make it a lifestyle and I say, you know what, I'm only going to have those 7.5 ounce cans of Coke, which isn't bad. They're only 90 calories. I'm going to limit myself to only a small handful of Doritos. and I'm going to exercise. I'm going to eat more healthy. Please don't take this as theology. But for me, when I see Christianity as a lifestyle, as opposed to seeing rules, it's so much easier to live in faith as a lifestyle rather than here's this law and rules you have to fulfill.
That's exactly right. Amen. I think of it, Scott, as do versus done. Religion tends to be, what do I need to do to merit and be good enough to make it to heaven? Christianity is, what has Christ done for me? And you know, he did it all. What did he say on the cross? It is finished. Our debt was paid in full. He did it all. It's an amazing thing. So we know that, as you referenced earlier, that the good doesn't outweigh the bad. We truly do fall short. James 2:10 says, if we keep the whole law, but we just stumble in one area, we fall short.
One area. By the way, if you're listening, you've fallen in at least one area in your life. We're all in the same boat here.
That's right. That's right. And you say, well, how does that work? Why is that possible? Well, I liken it to baking pie. So I like to bake pie. Now, I get my crust at Kroger, I'll admit it.
Okay.
But then from that point on, I put it all together and it comes out wonderful. And can you imagine, and I like to share that with people, can you imagine if I was baking my pie and while I was baking it, I noticed an ant on my counter. So I grabbed my ant spray real quick and I sprayed that ant, and a little bit of that, just a little bit of that ant spray got into my pie. I said, okay, that's cool. No problem. I'll go ahead and finish it up. And then later on, I share it with some folks and I say, by the way, I just want you to know, there's just a little bit of ant spray in this pie, but it shouldn't make a big deal difference. Go ahead and enjoy it.
PJ, I use that same illustration, except I use brownies and dog poop.
That's good.
And it did not go over so well on a Wednesday night where I had one lady, and we know who she is. Debbie, we're not going to say your name. She kind of gagged a little bit and had to leave the room as she thought about it. Yeah, just a little bit of that sin, a little bit of that that stuff just
spoils a whole bunch.
And we've all been spoiled.
That's right.
If not for the grace of God.
Hallelujah. That's exactly right.
You know, throw that verse up there, 2 Corinthians 5:21.
Yeah.
It says, he made the one who did not know sin to become sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I don't know if there's a better deal out there, whether we have a lot of sin like myself or a little bit of sin like PJ, we're all in the same boat. And Jesus Christ said, give me that.
Yeah.
I will take that upon myself and you'll be made clean and you'll be seen as righteousness because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's the freedom we have in Christ.
That's right.
And that's why we're doing this study, to encourage people. Don't be held down to weighing yourself. Are there more good works than bad works? But live in the freedom we have in Christ.
It blows me away to think that he loved us so much, he was willing to exchange his righteousness for our sin.
Yeah.
Amazing.
What a deal.
Yeah.
Which leads us into the third one, which is a great gift he gives as well.
Right. And so, and it says in verse 14, what is the proof of our salvation?
Yeah. The proof or promise we see, and Chris answered this one. It says the promise of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's good. And we know it's not our good works.
Yeah.
And the Bible says they're as filthy rags.
Yeah.
And Jesus said to his disciples in John 15 on the eve of his death when he was in the upper room, he said, you know, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You abide in me, I abide in you. You're going to bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yep.
That's exactly right. All of us fall short. So it truly is the promise of the Holy Spirit.
Yep. You know, when I think about the proof of salvation, early on, I'd always go back to what we're going to see in two chapters here. In chapter 5 is the fruit of the Spirit. If you're a Christian, these are the fruits you should be producing.
Yeah.
You talk about apple trees produce apples, pear trees produce pears, and you're known by your fruit. Mm-hmm. And that is partly true, but the seal, or really the promise we're talking about, is chapter 1 of what we do with our new believers class. If you accept Christ, we at this church, we try to get you to go through one of these books with us to understand what salvation means. And Joe, I know you've led several individuals through this book, and we lead a class on Wednesday nights for new believers. And the very first section we go through is understanding your security in Christ. who we are. And there's just one little section that talks about the Holy Spirit that I want to read here for us. And our assurance is based upon the Spirit of God. And it says, God sent a living daily proof of your relationship as an official seal is placed on a contract between two individuals to guarantee the contract's validity. God has given us a seal of his promise to us. Mm-hmm. It says, the Holy Spirit is at work within you, is the indisputable proof of your salvation. The Holy Spirit's work in your life will bring changes. Some changes will be gradual. Some will be instant. The inward and outward changes that result are the final proof of your salvation. And it says this verse here in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed and the new has come.
Yeah.
What I like about that, the proof or the gift or the promise that has been given to us is the Holy Spirit active in our lives. Mm-hmm. If you want to say, hey, am I a Christian? It's not about some prayer that you may or may have not said at 12 years old, because sometimes you say it at 12 and you don't know what you're saying. You're just saying it because someone told you and you raised your hand. The real promise that you are a follower of Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Is he the one that's inside you, guiding you, directing you? And a lot of times it's that thought mm-hmm. thought process, or the Holy Spirit says, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or on
mm-hmm.
the other hand, hey, you need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to give money. You need to give money. You don't want to give that person a phone call and see how they're doing. But the Holy Spirit moves us to do something like that.
Right.
And then it moves on about the Holy Spirit. It's not sealed by what we do. It's sealed about who guarantees us. So mm-hmm. I've not reached this point yet, but sometimes as a parent, you're asked to be a co-signer on a loan.
Yeah, I've been there.
And they've paid it back. If not, I don't want to hear.
They're awesome.
But the co-signer really is the one responsible for the loan. So the kid can pay it, but if the kid stops paying it, they come after the co-signer, who is the guarantor of that contract. And it says the Holy Spirit is the guarantor of our contract. So when we fall back and we start making these mistakes, we kind of run from God for a little bit. We don't lose our salvation because the co-signer on this contract is the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. who's been told and sent of God, a part of the Trinity, to guarantee this contract.
Yeah.
And it says when that contract's in place, it'll bring some changes instantly, and it'll bring some changes that maybe take a little while. But, you know, we should look different. There should be changes in our desires, changes in how we live, because of the Holy Spirit living in and through us.
You know, when I was growing up, I'd get poison ivy real bad. Like an old comedian used to say, I'd get it all over my body. And it was bad news. Boy, it was so itchy. Needless to say, I learned this saying, leaves of three, let it be. I learned to recognize those leaves. And that's how we're recognized, too, is our fruit. And that's that fruit of love, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Yeah.
So you're exactly right.
That's great. PJ, we got one really cool thing that I want us to go over. But let's do the most important thing first, and that is prayer. Do you mind closing us out in prayer today?
I'd be honored to. Right, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time together. We thank you, God, for your word, for the reminder that the law was important to us in bringing us to you. But you're the fulfillment, Lord, of the law. And through our relationship with you, through your perfect life that you lived, we can have your righteousness in our lives. And by your power, we can produce that fruit of love that shows the fruit of who lives in us, God. Help us as we go through these difficult times to keep responding in love to one another, even when it's hard to do, because you live in us. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Couple things. First of all, PJ writes songs like every other week. He's just constantly writing a song. So I said, Pastor Joe, if you're going to be on this program, I want to play one of your songs. And so we have one of those songs coming up. It is called Give Me More Grace.
That's correct.
Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Sure. It came from the verse in James 4:6, which says, he gives us more grace. And the context of that passage is that we need the grace in our daily life to stand against the evil one, to stand against the flesh and the struggles that we have. And truthfully, it's kind of like the manna in the wilderness. They got just enough, the Israelites, just enough heavenly bread for that day, just for what they needed. We all know that there's saving grace, the amount of grace we receive to come to know Christ as Savior. Then there's living grace, which is talks about in this verse in James chapter 4. But we know, too, that one day that there will be dying grace. Mm. We don't need it yet. We're not there yet. But when that day comes, God will give us just that amount of sufficiency to help us through that difficult time.
Very cool. And before we check out that song, I brought this statue today because I'm a fan of PJ. PJ is legit the most dedicated Christian that I know. I've seen you get upset like one time, and upset you said like, oh, nincompoop or something like that. And it was more funny than you
actually
getting.
It was a form of poop.
It wasn't a bad word. I think you spelled out C-R-A-P.
I might have been.
Like, legitimately spelled it out. So he writes these songs and sends them to me like every other week. So I just want to let you know how much I like you, PJ. I like your music.
Thank you so much, Scott.
And I assume you think of me as Captain America?
Sure, we'll go with that.
Explain, for real.
The truth of the matter is, when I was in the fourth grade, lived in Bowling Green, Ohio, I had a green chopper bike with a spoiler on the back of it. I would mow lawns, I would take my money, ride my bike downtown to the local pharmacy, and get my newest magazine of the Avengers comic book.
The comic books?
Yes. And I grew up with Captain America and the Avengers, and I still love them through today.
And you're a huge Marvel fan, and your favorite movie is?
My favorite movie is probably Endgames.
Okay. I thought you were going to go with Ant-Man still.
You know, I've morphed a little bit on that one.
Good. Well, we've got a treat for you. Check out this video, Give Me More Grace.
You're going to love it.
These Oreos. Did you legitimately eat all these Oreos?
So what are we talking about next week?
We talked about 3,000 calories. 26% of your sugars in two cookies. Right?
For the record, I didn't eat all those.
If you eat 8 cookies, that's all your sugars for the day.
For the day.
For the day.
Dude, the week.
Yeah. You can't eat anything till next Thursday.